At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Playful Beginnings, a podcast about the magic of play therapy for therapists, students, and anyone interested. In our podcast, we'll explore the deeper understanding of play therapy and the skills we use when working with children.
We hope to help you understand the why behind what we do and how it helps kids heal and grow. I'm Dr. Christy Opiola, a working play therapist and university professor in North Carolina.
I'm Dr. Maggie Parker, a play therapist and professor in DC. Hey, Christy.
Hey, Maggie.
So today I thought we could continue our conversation about feelings and dive a little bit more into some of the areas that we discussed last week.
Perfect. The other thing I was thinking, because I feel like we've covered the what and the why, and we've talked a little bit about the how, but Maggie, do you want to talk about how you phrase your reflections? Because we talked about not asking questions. So instead of asking questions, how do you state a reflection of feeling?
Yeah, that's great. I think there are a couple different ways. I think as I started out, I tended to put a question on without asking a question through the inflection of my voice. So you're feeling really sad? And that implies a question, right? And I also think that you have to have some sort of emotion and demonstration of care in the way in which you reflect the feeling. So if you're saying you can't, and we talked about this in the other episodes on skills, is that you can't just say you're sad because that doesn't demonstrate connection. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important to say like, you're really sad, or you really don't like that. I really try and start with the you. I don't say, I can see you doing that, because I think it detracts from what they're experiencing by placing myself first. In the event that I do say something about me, I blank, I always try and end with you because they're the focus of this.
I think kids are always good interpreters of like interpreting what we say and the meaning behind what we say. So the I see or I noticed, for me, kids think I'm talking about myself.
Right.
They don't think I'm talking about them, even though I'm starting it with, you know, how I'm interpreting it or how I got to this conclusion.
Right.
And so I think using you first is a really helpful way to convey the reflection, because it really points to what you're talking about.
And I think it also, you know, you're talking about internal versus external locus of control, then it also puts it on an external locus of me, as opposed to me reflecting what I'm seeing in them. And we're trying to develop that internal confidence. And so I don't want to confuse that by providing in my external thing. I also, one of the feedback I got from Dr. Bratton, she wasn't my play therapy teacher, but she was my supervisor. And when I was doing play therapy first off, and I was like, well, I'm not reflecting any feelings. And she says, no. You are, because even if I wasn't saying a feeling word, which I do think is very important, the way in which I was using my body and my tone was very much reflecting the feeling. Mm-hmm. Even if it was right? And so it's like, you're really trying to convey and match their emotional internal state to the ways in which you're responding with them, to be again that mirror and that connection. And so I really try and do that. I also tend to use the same words. I think we as adults have a very limited feeling vocabulary. And so it's really trying to expand upon the feelings that we use. And so that's something that I encourage, I do in class with my students, is I take kind of like happy, sad, angry, frustrated, you know, angry, like come up, you have to come up with 10 words for these within a minute or 30 seconds. And it's actually quite hard, even for students that are in the therapy world. And so, and then I'll anytime it's a word that they don't, in a fun way.
It's like, man,
no,
it like, feels like Jeopardy where the clock is going like, dun,
we
dun,
do it.
Dun,
it's dun, a game. Dun. It's not like a evaluation, but sometimes the words we use are not necessarily developmentally appropriate. And so really trying to hone in on that. And sometimes my feeling words is like icky. Ooh, that feels icky. You don't like the way that feels. And that's something that kids can understand just as much as they can understand, like, you're really feeling down. And so really trying to expand on that so you're not repeating yourself and it doesn't feel robotic, but trying to understand where kids are developmentally in the words that we use to reflect their feelings, as well as the words that they are using themselves to reflect feeling, if that makes sense.
I'm thinking about it for myself, and I try to stay away from slang words. I think slang words are used intentionally by different generations to have kind of their own coded language. And I don't want to like misappropriate the cooking process to it. So I try to stay abreast of slang, although right now it feels like every time we learn something, they're going to change
it's
it.
It's all gone.
But because they might use that word in session and I need to have understanding of what that word is. But I also have found myself going to be like, ooh, that seems really important to you. Even if I don't understand what the feeling is or I'm not interpreting the word, I want them to know I am getting like the passion and the their intention behind sharing it with me.
I think, well, I'm not really up to date on any of the current slang because I don't understand it, but I do find myself using my slang sometimes. And so that I have to be aware of, like, oh man, that's so cool. Or, you know, that's like a combination of what, that's like what we were used to saying. And I have to watch out for that. I think sometimes, because if kids don't understand what we're saying, then it doesn't really help them understand themselves. Or like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of it, but I do try and be aware and understand that I'm speaking in a language that they understand, that I'm not going above their heads. I use my body a lot.
What do you mean by that?
So if you're not watching this, sometimes when it gets really intense, I will kind of like come down, like I'll come, you know, like I'll, instead of like being laid back, you know, like sitting up straight, I might lean forward. If there's intensity there, I'm going to focus. Yeah, I think that's a lot of what I do, is that I'll really lean forward and hone in, or like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm never going to like, I have to be very wary of the way in which I express myself, because I tend to cross my arms and cross my legs. And so if they're expressing something and I realize, you know, I don't want to then sit back or move my chair and cross my arms because of the message that it might relay. And so I try very hard to be open and not close myself off for those emotions, and then to lean in and show my interest and care. Especially when there's a lot of intensity around it,
yeah,
is how I try and use my body in those spaces.
Well, and sometimes I think we can express feelings without stating feelings by our nonverbal messages too. Right,
The way
like,
you look.
oh, right,
Ugh.
like my whole face shows the same emotion that sometimes I can use. The challenge with that is one of the gifts that we give with reflecting emotions is to like offer kids new words that they can use to express their internal. So when we only rely on nonverbal ways of communicating, or we don't then connect it to a word at some point, then they may still be struggling about how to express that feeling later down the road, or even in conveying it to other people.
Right. You have to vary it. It has, because if you're repeating yourself, I think it sometimes, I think in some ways it demonstrates, I do think it demonstrates understanding and the intensity of which they're experiencing something, but sometimes it can minimize it. And so really, you don't want to only be going, ugh, you don't like that. Or you want to vary it so that they can increase their emotional vocabulary, that you're not just relying on the same way of reflecting something. You're not just saying you're sad, you're sad, you're sad, you're sad, you're sad. Because you, that would feel weird in any adult relationship if they just kept repeating themselves and not demonstrating their understanding in ways that felt genuine and connected. And I think that again goes back to the purpose is that we're wanting to be genuine and connected. And that I think can be hard for me because I tend to get stuck on a word. And so I really am mindful of that and try and vary mo my vocabulary in ways in which can be understood. And I'm trying to think of like, I'm not going to say like, you feel really perplexed. They're going to be like, huh? Right. And so though that's kind of what I mean about trying to use words that they are aware of, that aren't so out of the box that I have to, they'd have to use a thesaurus to understand what it is that I'm conveying. And it varies by the age of which the client is. I'm going to use different words with my teenagers than I'm going to use with the children, like with younger kids, I think.
Well, I'm going to use different words for 3-year-olds than I am going to use for 6-year-olds in the playroom, right? Like, I'm going to use much more simplistic words potentially for a 3-year-old than I am for a 6, 8, 9-year-old in the play therapy or activity space. I think that's what you mean. Like, so even the words that I use, sad might be really frequent in a
Younger.
3-year-old session. And I might add one or two words to that, but I'm not going to use lots of variation of the word sad for a very young child.
Right, because it's
Initially, because I want them to like be able to have the words that they can
they understand.
say and understand and, convey to other people. And then as they grow, I may expand those or even grow in time with me, right? Like I may switch sad,
I know it's hard to think of feelings as we're talking about feelings.
right? Like to disappointment or gloomy or you're upset, right? Like I might add more words like that as we kind of go along, but initially I might rely pretty heavily on the word sad.
You have to adapt to the person that is in front of you. You don't have to adapt your theory or the way you approach or understand. You have to adapt sometimes the language that you're using. And I think that's really important is a lot of times people will say, oh, well, this child has X diagnosis, so therefore I need to do this instead. And it's gonna
Yeah,
be
it's not prescriptive.
no. And I think that's what's so hard about having a podcast about child-centered is because we can't tell you track, 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 reflect, feeling, say this, say this, say that. It's very something that becomes a part of you that you have to respond to the child that's in front of you, which is probably why we're having a hard time, or at least I'm having a hard time. Like, how do I reflect these things? And I think the more you can practice and come up with different ways of saying these things and understanding these things being feelings, the easier it's going to become, and you just have to practice.
I think for me, when I think about it, utilizing you language is really important. Starting your sentence with you, not making it ambiguous or like floating in the air. Oh, that's so sad, right?
Right.
That is less impactful than saying you're so sad or oh, wow. That's really tough, right? And I think
Right.
we do use that often. And so like within supervision or within the classroom or even for myself, like really making sure I target my responses with the you language for me is an important start to the how. And
Yes.
something that I share and I see a lot of is more of that ambiguous language where it's harder for the kid to kind of interpret that or know that you're talking
About them.
specifically about them compared to like the scenario or the situation. And so utilizing you language can, I think, is always the best place to start.
Right. Because if you say that is icky, right? So if they're drawing a picture of their family, they're going through a divorce, it's a different house, and you say, oh, that's icky, that's like the scenario. If you say that you feel icky, that is their experience. And I think that's really important, is that we're trying to reflect their experience of the situation as opposed to reflecting on the situation itself. I think that's.
You have any good examples of this, either, in your mommyhood life or in clinical life or
I think,
supervision?
yeah, I think some things that come to mind are where it was really important that I had the connection, because if I focused only on the toy or what they were doing. So I had a child who was really struggling with self-esteem and high levels of perfectionism, and they would often use the bot bag and hit it really hard, and it didn't feel like they were frustrated or angry or releasing some sort of like pent up emotion in that way. It felt very much like they were trying to see how strong they were and to challenge themselves. And so I really tried to hone in on those aspects, which I think if you were simply looking at the behavior, not the relationship, and understanding this child holistically, it would be easy to be like, you're really angry. You're showing them how strong you are, versus you're really determined. You're really focused. You're trying really hard to get that the way you want it. Which I don't know if those are necessarily feeling words, but it got to the essence of what they were experiencing that in that moment. So it wasn't like you're sad. It was like you want to see if you can do this. You really are trying. You are focused. You are, which I guess is more encouragement. So maybe I'll cut that out. But it felt like it got to the essence of what they were experiencing. Or you're really proud. I guess that's not really a feeling either. I guess it is. It's
Proud
both.
is a feeling.
You know, I had a child who was really struggling with their emotional reactivity and handling changes. And they would use the bot bag also, but in a different way, where they would try and balance on it. Every session they would come in at the beginning and the end and try and balance. And so really reflecting, like, you know,
Determined, you're.
you're really excited you got to balance. You're really excited you stayed on for 3 seconds. You know, they would have me count. I wasn't putting the quantitative piece on that without their asking. And they would count. And so it was really reflecting what the emotion behind the behavior, I think. What about you?
I had a kiddo who struggled a lot in school, in particular with like spelling and other stuff. But one day they decided they wanted to label the shelves in the playroom, but wanted me to tell them how to do it. So I put the responsibility back on there. It's okay. It doesn't matter how it's spelled, but they had like a need for it to be right and accurate. And but man, they got so frustrated. They were frustrated with me. They were really mad. We're conveying all. So I was reflecting a lot of that. You're really frustrated with me.
You're upset. I won't tell you
You
this.
think it would be easier if I told you how to do that, but in here, that's something you can do. And they employed everything like, well, I'm choosing for you to tell me how to spell this, right? Like all these
Right.
different things. And so then I could reflect like, oh, you're feeling uncertain if you know how to spell that, worried it won't be accurate, or you think there's a right and wrong way to spell it, and here you can spell it any way you want. And it went on the whole, we spent the whole session trying to label one section of a shelf. Me returning responsibility, her really doing the work,
You're
right?
doing it in
You
relationship.
feel, yeah, but even like you feel lost, you're not sure what's next, you're working really hard, you feel you have some doubt that you know
Yeah.
what comes next. So I really like plugging into the feeling side of it over, right? Or if they got something mixed up, because I remember she mixed up like an I and an E and caught it at the end. Oh, right? Like
Really
just.
disappointed.
Yeah, and the tension, right? Like, you're feeling a lot of ways, and that's okay. Like, I'm not gonna fix that. I'm also not gonna tell her how to spell it. And she figured it out,
And
and
you're so
our
proud.
session was over,
Yeah.
and she was like, "Do not let anyone undo this. I need to finish this next section." So my heart broke knowing that I'm gonna peel this tape off. I did put it in our closet to save it. And when she came in the next week, what do you think the first thing she went to look for? I
Is
knew someone was gonna. I said, I actually saved it because we used painter's tape. And I said, it's right here. And so she put it on the shelf. And then she decided she didn't like it on that shelf. So she put it on a different shelf.
Yeah. And I think what I hear both of us doing, and I think it's important, is that it's very hard to say, to give examples of us using this skill without us using also other skills, because
Because
the
it's not just, we don't only reflect feeling.
Right. And so even in our examples, we're providing multiple different responses that are mirroring with feelings included within that.
Yeah.
So you can't rely on just one skill. And I think we've really honed that in, and that it can't be prescriptive. One thing that I think it's important, because this is a very tough and important skill, I think we've clearly demonstrated that. But you mentioned that this was a skill that was less intuitive for you, that was a little bit more difficult.
Yes.
What helped you make that switch? Because it's something that seems very natural for you now.
A lot of things. I didn't have a good feeling vocabulary, so but I also didn't have good trust in myself of understanding feelings. So I think my own therapy helped me learn to trust myself more, as well as having a therapist reflect feelings for me to help me like have a better internal guide was really helpful. I've shared this on the podcast before. I also just didn't have an expansive feeling vocabulary. So I used to use a dry erase marker and write on my mirror words that I can use. So I might put, sad, and I would put like four other words for sad up there. And I chose my bathroom mirror because at that time I lived in an apartment, right? Like a 1.5 bedroom apartment. So there was only one bathroom. So every time I went to the bathroom, I was going to see it. And I put it on two mirrors. I put it on the mirror that opens with the medicine cabinet because it was on the side, and then the big mirror right above where I washed my hands. So every time I went to go wash my hands, I would see it. And the side mirror, because when I was sitting using the toilet, that was kind of like what my view was. So like I could see it in both almost inadvertently. I also practiced with friends, and I didn't do this, but a lot of people shared, right? Like sometimes watching soap operas can be really helpful because there's a lot of emotional content in soap operas.
That's what I have my students do. I tell them in interview skills, I'm like, watch the Kardashians on mute
Yes.
and see what, or the Real
But
Housewives.
it's, I think that's also a different skill. Like I started with listening for the vocabulary, like the words to help convey
Oh.
first. And then I went to looking at things on mute to hone in my like nonverbal communication to be able to convey. But like I was so apprehensive about like feeling confident about having the skills, I don't think I would have felt as confident picking up on the nonverbal before I picked up on the verbal. Like I needed to confirm to myself that I could do the verbal component. Also work with really young kids. Little kids express a lot. They use a lot of emotional words and they are really forgiving because they just so badly want to be heard and understood. So that was really helpful for me. I worked with the really littles initially. And one thing I really I know as a student I hate it, and as a professor I know my students hate, but it comes up every year on evaluations. Transcribing
Yep.
and listening to your, like, re-listening on slow paced of yourself, and then putting alternative ways. So what's another word I could use here? So I just said sad. Is there a better word or an alternative response I could give to this? That can be a really helpful tool. It is time consuming, so I understand why we all hated it, but it is part of the learning, and do not let AI do it for you. You have to sit and listen, because what you do when you sit and listen and you slow it down and you listen to it 6 or 7 times to get the right wording of what the person said and what you said is you are learning to take in information in all the different ways that it could have been intended in that session. You can't go back and fix it, but it helps you to be a wiser and better attuned listener when you go back later. And so I do think that is really helpful. And you have to get your butt in a chair and practice it.
Right.
You cannot just assume you can read more about
Oh.
it, read a book.
No.
I will say children's books are really helpful. One of my favorites is The Way I Feel by Jeanine Kain, Cain. Yeah, I think that's how you spell her last name. And I love her illustrations. So she has great words that go with it, but then also to describe, like, look at the illustration and pick up on the different nonverbal cues that you can get from the facial features, or they're great books. And I think that's a really important thing for us to think about, are what are alternatives? And nowadays you can watch them online on YouTube. So you don't have to be weird and go to the public library and pick up children's books because you don't have kids, right? Like, you can actually go online and kind of watch them and read them and pause them and look at the picture and kind of in your own mind kind of describe what's happening and then put it into a feeling word, reflect a content, reflect a behavior, reflect a feeling, right? You can use all of those skills. Practicing looking at pictures or watching the Kardashians or
When I think like being more aware and attuned as you're out in the world too.
yes.
So they're like, you don't have to be creepy and just like go watch kids because kids are everywhere. And so just become more aware and attuned to that. I think you can learn a lot. And one thing that my students really don't like, but I found very helpful when I was in school, and I hated it also when I was in school, when I was on the other end, is we were asked to observe other students doing play therapy. Because they're going to do it a little different. They're going to pick up on different things. I'm not asking you to judge the way they're doing it, which sometimes I felt like I was doing or being judged. But it is about, I love watching each other's tapes in class because then it's like, okay, what else? Not to negate what this person said because that's accurate, but there are lots of different ways to say it. And there's lots of different ways in which you are going to pick up on things that other people don't. And so, I think the more you can engage, observe, and place yourself within those spaces and mind spaces, I think it's really gonna help because there's ample opportunity to observe. So.
Yeah, I think those are, really helpful. The other thing I would say is, as you were saying, just the general public, I was at the getting my car fixed yesterday because I broke my side mirror because I hit it on my garage, like the side of my garage. And there was a little kid there, so cute. He had to be, I'm gonna guess he was two and a half. But man, just sitting there with him behind me and the conversations they were, I could have reflected a million and one feelings. And he kept going, "We go home. We go home now. We go. I all done. We go
Do
home."
not want to be
And
here.
they
Do
were
not like this.
not leaving anytime soon, based on mom's response,
Frustrated, you
right?
want to be here.
And then I took a phone call, and this little kiddo saw me, and they were like, "I love you." And they just wanted a playmate, right? But there's so many opportunities to re like in my head, maybe not out loud, but or even to jot down. So, like, when you're in places where kids are around, you can do some of the practicing stuff that you need to do. It's just taking the opportunity to slow down, right? And to, like, kind of focus yourself, because sometimes we can get focused on task list that we have in our head, or listening to a podcast, or zoning out. Sometimes taking just 5 of those minutes, I'm not saying the whole time, but for 5 minutes, that there was a lot I could have kind of reflected. Like, you're so frustrated, you're bored, you really, He did something and he was like really pleased with himself. He came out of the bathroom. Yeah. So, but, and, he was like, ta-da. And I was like, in my head, I'm like,
You're really proud. You're excited that you did that.
oh, yeah, like whatever you did. But
Yeah.
I know we got to wrap up here.
But I think I really appreciate this conversation. And I think it's important to know. Sign up for on our website for our newsletter. We're sending out skills one pagers to help you really kind of hone in on these and have a tangible reference.
And we're
And
doing them along with the podcast. So as
yes,
the
I'm
podcast
sending them
gets
out.
released, then we're sending them out. We're also trying to find a place to house them on our website as well for you guys so that you can come to them and get a copy of the Skills One Pagers.
Yeah. Well,
So
thank you, Christy.
thanks, Maggie. And don't forget to like this video, share it with friends and colleagues, supervisees, or parents that you think could benefit from hearing any of this stuff. And visit
Leave
our
comments.
website. And if you have a topic or you want to share something, please email us at info@playtherapyspace.com. We do check that regularly. You can also do Christy@playtherapyspace.com or Maggie@playtherapyspace.com if you want to share something with us or convey a message. We do like hearing from you, so please let us know.
Yeah. Well,
All right,
thanks,
y'all.
Christy.
Have a great May.
Bye.